This podcast contains adult language. DigitalDarren.com. Today is August 31st, 2015. We're recording today, but this will probably run later, the week after. This is part of our Falcons Football Week and Rise Up Week series. And for everybody who doesn't know what Falcons Football Week, what Rise Up Week is the week leading to the first regular season game. We do a week's worth of podcasts that all center around our Atlanta Falcons, the home team. And just to get all the Atlanta Falcons fans ready for football season. And so what we normally do, Double R and myself pick the Falcons games. That's been a tradition. This will be the third one. We always replay a podcast. So this year we'll replay the Thomas Dimitroff report card. And we got two other podcasts just that are just our thoughts about the Falcons in general. So today's podcast is about Julio Jones and how we spend money in Atlanta. I'll bring in fan favorite Calhoun to talk about just Julio, what he's seen so far, and just the Falcons in general. So we'll get to a lot of good things, but the main topic is Julio. Saturday, he signed a five-year, $71.5 million extension to stay in Atlanta. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, one, let me tell you how much it's a pleasure to be here on the old Digital Darren podcast once again. One of the many fan favorites. We all have so much, starting with the host. As far as the Falcons signing Julio, I think you said it best. This is Thomas Dimitroff. This is his signature moment, right? He only has two signature
moments. Okay, so let's back up on what of them. Yeah, because this is something.
So what was your initial question?
What were your thoughts on the Julio draft?
Yeah.
On the signing, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think.
So let's back up. Offline, before we came online, when we were talking about ideas, we saw that he signed while the Falcons were playing the Miami Dolphins. I think we talked about that. And so, Lord knows we got no Thomas Dimitroff. Not as much as he should be gotten on, but we've gotten on him enough.
Don't worry, we're going to make up for it.
We're going to get a little bit in today.
We're going to get a little bit in it.
But I was telling you offline that his regime is really based on two moves. Getting Matt Ryan and the Julio trade, and even more so the Julio trade than Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan was kind of a safe pick. I mean, you didn't have to do anything. You just fell into him. Julio, he had to wine and dine, wheel and deal to get there. And you know how I feel about the Julio trade. And for everybody who listens to the show, y'all know I wasn't a big fan of Julio trade, not because he isn't talented, but for two reasons. One, a wide receiver doesn't get you over the hump. And two, the Falcons traded something that, if you look at the Falcons now, they sorely need for keeping Julio. They need depth in the worst possible way. And so they gave up, four picks to get Julio?
Something like that.
So, and these were like first, second, third, fourth rounders, people who would be on the team now. So to have that and just to get back one player in this, in a game with this many moving pieces was kind of a gamble at best. And so I think you have to keep Julio. I think Dimitroff has to keep Julio as his signature move.
To go a step further, just another insight of it. When you make that kind of move, now we got the kind of player, but when you make that kind of move, you need another position. So if you're going to sell 3-4 players for a marquee player, you don't want it to be a wide receiver. You do that for a quarterback. Maybe you do that for a tackle that's just off the charts. Maybe you do that for a left end or right end, rusher that's just going to dominate the game.
You make it do it for a running back if it's an Adrian Peterson type running back.
I might not even do it for running back because you can get one of those. You may can't get Adrian Peterson, but you can get a Marshawn Lynch. You can get one of those. You just had Todd Gurley and Gordon come in the draft. And you're going to have a third or fourth round that's going to make some noise. You can get a running back. But what you can't get is a monster rush in the quarterback that's going to get you about 15 sacks, 10 to 15.
I say cornerback falls in that group, too.
cornerback falls in that group too. Someone who can dominate a side of a field. Now, you can do that. But for a wide receiver, to me, they are like running backs. Now, everyone's infatuated with this whole passing game shit. So what? That's not, as you can see, there's plenty of flaws in that. Your wide receiver doesn't get you over the hump. It's just like a running back. You'll get yourself one of those. Hell, there are about three of them came out the draft this year. And one who you won't even hear about. And that's just saying, I'm not going to sit and say who it was. You have no telling who they're going to be. I know that kid right now who with the Titans who you had called and told me about. The one with the name, the Beckham kid.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, that man was beasting the other day.
Darrell Beckham. And he just...
And he was like a fourth or fifth rounder, but he had slid because he had problems.
I mean, he had college problems, so he got kicked out of Missouri for smoking weed. And he basically had to sit out. He couldn't play next year. But he was the number one prospect in the country when he was coming out of high school. And
he looked like it the other day.
And one of the things you love is bigger, stronger, faster.
And he's that.
And you can't coach that.
So when it comes to this, back circling the Julio trade, now what is that? That's over $15 million a year, right? It's around $15 million, right under. Now, with the holes that we have a 32nd ranked defense. Surely you can put $14 million of it into it.
So we're going to get back to Julio, but I think the problem with drafting Julio was the problem in Thomas Dimitroff is that he evaluated the team and the league completely wrong. So everybody else was zigging, and he zigged with everybody else. But teams like Seattle, teams zag.
At the time, like San Francisco. But here's the problem. It's not just him. Everyone has this whole notion.
No, I'm saying he went – everybody in the league went right. He went right with
him. He went right with him.
Yeah, he went right with him.
And that's been the way to go from day one.
It's only been three or four teams who went left.
Exactly.
And so that's – he did the problem everybody did. But I think he – did not evaluate the Falcons correctly. We got Julio after we lost to Green Bay. We lost to Green Bay that game.
We went 13-3.
13-3.
You was a piece two away, and you went for a piece that you didn't have to have.
But remember that game. He took away, his takeaway from that game was that if we would have been more potent on offense, we would have won. But that game, Aaron Rodgers went like 30 or 34 or something crazy.
He crawled us up.
Yo, and so I think that anybody who comes and says leads that game saying we have to get either a rusher or a cornerback. Draft free agency, we have to because that's the missing piece we need. We don't get rid of picks to get a wide receiver.
And at the time, that's when you had right in his prime and you had Tony Gonzalez. With a Matt Ryan who was doing this thing and you still was using Michael Turner. So the offense didn't even need a boost. You went and boost the offense, but that wasn't what your need was. That is why we're in the position we're in today.
I told you about this guy, and he didn't turn out to be that great. I told you, for what we gave up for Julio, we could have got
Baldwin
and been okay. I like Baldwin plus the depth that we would have had would have got us to where we needed to be.
Now, Baldwin is nowhere near Julio, but I'm taking away from it. What you're saying is all you need is someone opposite at that time, a Roddy White, with Matt Ryan throwing the ball. Because when both of them went out, Harry Douglas had over 80 yards and 1,000 catches. So Baldwin would have got some play.
I mean, that's just the passes have to be completed to somebody, right?
Exactly.
And so who was New England's key receiver?
Gronk.
Tight end.
Yeah.
Who's Seattle key receiver?
They don't have a key receiver. They got Graham now, but they don't have a key receiver. They had a running game, and the quarterback who can throw to some no-namers every now and again. They didn't have a QC. San Francisco did. They had a couple.
I mean, Crabtree was okay, but
Bolden,
but he's not.
He's older, but yeah, he's not in this Julio, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, and so that spins it to forward to drafting Julio, which, again, I'm not a fan of because we sacrificed depth, and we'll get into that, but it goes to the position of wide receiver. One of the things we talked about was that Calvin Johnson had 1,900 yards, however many touchdowns.
Had the most prolific receiver.
It was the second ever. And they went 4-12. 4-12.
Go to show you the importance of receiver.
Dez Bryant has had tremendous years. Dallas just made the playoffs the year DeMarco Murray got off. Julio had the best year ever for a Falcons receiver. Had probably one of the top eight best years for a receiver in pro football ever. Falcons went 6-10. The year before that, both him and Roddy were close to 1,000 yards. If he had 1,000, Roddy may have had like 900. Falcons go 4-12. So the overall point, and it ties into our kind of what we said in the NFL's $100 million problem. You can't pay Julio this amount of money when you have this many holes in your team.
Now, not to get too far away from it, and going back to the episode 120, we were talking about quarterbacks. This is why I feel like you don't pay anybody that amount of money, but you build yourself a complete team. This is why. Because then what starts happening? This is what happens. You start overpaying. The market becomes saturated. This is mortgage fraud. That's what we're watching. So Thomas get $70 million. Dez get $70 million. Then Julio gets $70 million. The next wide receiver's up. He's gonna get the same thing. Just like now, Russell Williams got the $20 million. Right after whoever signs last, what you think Andrew Luck's gonna get next year?
You have to give him $25 million.
He's gonna break the bank.
And it's funny you said that. We looked at the Falcons preseason game against Miami. We'll get to that a little later. That was Rich McKay's answer. A receiver in Dallas and a receiver in Denver kind of set us up to know what we're going to pay Julio.
That's how you get That's how you get players like Ryan Tannehill and Andy Dalton getting hundreds of millions. Even Matt Ryan and Tony Romo, guys who've won absolutely nothing, $100 million.
And we talked about this.
Jay Cutler. That's how you get that, because now it's mortgage. The market goes sky high. The problem, though, when you do that, you have holes all around.
And pro football is the one place you can't have holes. Mm-hmm. You can have holes in basketball because
you can have one outstanding player that can carry.
Exactly. And everybody's evaluated the same way. It's assists, points, rebounds, blocks. Football is evaluated so different for each position. Each position carries a different weight, whereas in pro basketball, all the positions kind of carry the same weight. Pro baseball is pitchers, fielders, pitchers, hitters, that's it. So all the hitters can be leveled out. All the pitchers can be leveled out. So in football, where you have receivers that are different from running backs, that are different from quarterbacks, that are different from O-linemen, which are different from D-linemen, which are different from linebackers, which are different from DBs, it's hard to level out that, how much each group is worth. You can figure out how much each group is worth, but it's hard to draw that line across. Well, if DBs are worth it, I can spend this on DBs, but I can't spend this. If I spend this on DBs, I can't spend this on receivers. So if I spend this on DBs, I have to kind of...
I can't pay linebackers.
I can't pay linebackers. This alignment, that, because it's a... You have to see a bigger...
Right. You only have... Now, the problem is, it's just what we're saying, and this is what's going on. So it's like the housing market in 08. It's going to be a crash. Because what's going on right now is... The market has been saturated. It's horribly done. Wide receivers are getting quarterback money. Quarterbacks getting astronaut money.
Yeah, owner money.
They getting owner money. Cornerbacks are starting to get wide receiver money. DNs are getting that. Tackles are getting that. Guards are starting to get what cornerbacks used to get.
Centers are getting more than guards.
Centers are getting more than guards. It's going to crash.
Linebackers and running backs are the only positions getting fucked over right now.
But right now, after Bobby Wagner just signed for $10 million, lo and behold, watch out. Be careful, because guess who's coming up next? The linebacker's going to be next, because now the bar's been set. So now you have linebackers getting $10 million. Think about that. Think about that when you had players like LT not even getting a million. And now you have Bobby fucking Wagner, who's not the best linebacker in the game right now.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. He's not $10 million good. Not at that position. That boy in Carolina is. Luke Kuechly. So now that Bobby Wagner got $10 million, what you going to get Luke Kuechly?
You made a good point. A lot of these players are getting paid like they're generation-defining players.
And they're not.
And we're bringing it back to Julio. Julio's a great player, a probable Hall of Famer if he keeps everything up. Is he a generation-defining receiver?
No. We already had that. This generation probably Megatron. That was the one. But he get lost in the mix of good receivers like the rest of them. Like who we just named. He's not head and shoulder, but he's not better than Megatron. And he's not better than Dez because the difference between them, except for Megatron later, is they stay healthy. Julio hasn't played a whole 16 games. He hasn't had a season with 16 games. I think he might be better than Bebe Thomas, but they're in the same boat. He's better than them. But then look at the kid like Brown. Look at T.Y. Hilton.
I think Calvin Johnson. I think Antonio Brown. I think A.J. Green are better than Julio. I want to go get back to the A.J. When Green later.
They're about the same to me because they both have the same problem.
We're going to get to that later. But I think those three are better than Julio.
Say that again?
I think those three. Antonio Brown, Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green. I think those three are better. I think you could put Dez in there, too. I think you got to put Dez.
Antonio Brown in after that just 1 year?
Yeah, I had 2 years. I mean, Julio had one super great year. I just think Antonio Brown better.
Antonio Brown ate it up last year.
He run punch back. He do more than Julio.
He ate it up. But Dez Bryant is.
Yeah, so those four are just better than Julio. You could put Julio. I think ODB going to be better than Julio. I think it's too early to say that, but I think if ODB follow up with another campaign like he did last year.
I don't think he's better.
I think he has potential.
He has hands and all, he can make catches, but let me tell you something, man. 6'3", 225 running 4'3". It's 6'3", 225 running 4'3". It's a straight. Julio Brown is a straight
Julio
monster.
Jones.
Yeah, sorry. Ooh, Julio Brown? Who the hell is that? Julio Jones is a straight monster, period. He's him, Dez Bryant, Megatron, monsters. That's the difference between everybody else, like your small Antonio Browns and ODB and all, even your Bebe Thomas and all, because he's no monster. He's tall. He's no monster. Those three, big, strong, tall, 40-inch verts.
See, I think you're going, and that's what I think the problem is. I think you look at the numbers, the physical.
They are special.
You're like scouts. Like, wow, he's. But I don't think his production speaks to his body from the standpoint. Antonio Brown can produce just as much. T.Y. Hilton can produce just as much as Julio.
How many games he missed last year?
Julio?
Yeah, two. And he still had over 1,500 yards.
We, all of us here Falcons fans.
You remember what he did to Green Bay?
The Falcons look for Julio, which they should. He's the best player on their team, which is going to go to another point. He's the best player on their team, but Green Bay is the only game you can say Julio dominated.
No.
No. What other game you could say that Julio dominated?
He ate the best cornerback up when Arizona came down here. Peterson was talking that track.
He did do Peterson.
He, no condom, no lube, straight over.
But they lost.
Back door.
They lost to Green Bay.
Hey, listen. We're still talking about a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So, which goes exactly to your point. I cannot agree with you more. You helped me see that. You helped me see when I was sucking off Calvin Johnson. It's a receiver. You get jack out of them. They can only do so much. It doesn't matter about you having a fit. That's a 2,000-yard receiver. Jerry Rice never had no numbers. Didn't have 1,900 yards. And they went 4-12 with a 5,000-yard quarterback, which goes to my point.
On the $100 million podcast.
Goes to my
excellent
point.
Segue. Go on and say your point so we can get to it.
You cannot pay a single player. You cannot let a single player handicap your organization. And you damn sure can't let two do it. And those positions, yes, the quarterback is the most important position in sports. But it is not the only position in sport. And it is not a position that is so important to transcend the sport. Because it does not. And that's the problem.
You just said what Michael Bender said in a more elegant fashion. So his point was quarterbacks are just getting random $100 million thrown at them. It's like strip clubs in the 2000s when BMF arrived. Yeah. All you had to do was be a stripper and be in the somebody was throwing cash your way.
No matter how you look, how fat the ass is, what the face looks
didn't
like.
Didn't have no ass, whatever. As long as you were up, cash was coming your way.
Exactly.
So it's like a quarterback. And now, to your point, it's gone past quarterback. Look here. I'm an Atlanta fan. You an Atlanta fan. We both love Julio. We both are saying Julio is one of the top four or five best receivers in the league.
He's one of the top four or five best receivers in the league. He might be like a top 20 player. Maybe top 30 player in the league.
Exactly. So we're not dissing Julio. It's just that what we're saying is you can't give Julio $75 million or $72 million.
and give Matt Ryan 100.
And you have to have some defense. True Funk's going to come around soon.
True Funk's going to have to sign 10. Let me see. What did Richard Sherman get? He's going to get a... By the time he signs, he's going to get a Richard Sherman contract.
Yeah.
Because by that time, it's not going to matter about the best player. See, that's why everyone want somebody to sign before them. They set the market. So you can't have, like I was saying in the podcast, a $20 million quarterback, a $15 million wide receiver, and you still have 20 other starters.
Not to mention backups. Because Seattle won a lot because of backups.
Yeah, we're not even mentioning backups. This is just the starters. Now, what kind of team are you really, logically, what kind of team are you going to have? You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to be like Dallas and like Cincinnati and a little bit like Detroit in that you're going to have to draft to perfection in order to have someone like Seattle just did. They did all this win on Russell Wilson rookie contract.
Well, not even Russell Wilson. Bobby Wagner's, the
Richard Sherman's, Earl Thomas's,
Cam Chancellor. All these were under rookie contracts.
Mm-hmm. And they were late draft picks and all that. Exactly. They struck gold in the draft.
Cats like Walter Thurman, who were backups. I think Bronner was like a fourth round pick they picked. So we're naming off at least 10 names who were. Exactly. And we're not even talking about O-line and D-line.
Then you got Marshawn Lynch for cheap because the Bills just wanted to send him out of there. So, I mean, just think about it. Now, the position that you did suffer at is wide receiver.
Which is ironic. The position the Patriots don't give a fuck about.
And the position that Seattle don't give a fuck about. But teams like who's on the cusp, who's going nowhere.
I tell you, no team who don't give a fuck. They just have had to draft
New good Orleans? Ones.
I was gonna say New Orleans. I was going to say another team. Green Bay. Green Bay don't give a fuck about receiver. They just drafted Randall Cobb. Yeah. And they drafted Jordy Nelson. They not out here breaking their neck to get a wide receiver.
You're exactly right. But see, there's a fine line in there. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to hit on free agency and on draft picks. And that's how you can get everything to line up like that. But it's only for a short window. Just like now Dallas. Dallas is tailing off a little bit. They got a little bit. You see, they've been drafting well. See how they built that lineup? They built that up during the draft.
We laughed when they drafted Zach Martin over Johnny Manziel. Jerry Jones hit it right on the nose.
He hit it right on the head. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew, and that line, that's why they just went on ahead and got Darren McFadden, who they know is not going to be. Now, you can plug in any kind of running back, just like the Shanahans did with Denver when they had Alandis Gary and all them. You could just, and Anderson, you could plug them in and everybody get 1,000. You got the right line, but you're not getting touched for the first 5 yards. And so that's why they're doing it. That's why Tony Romo looked like he looked. Dez Bryant caught like he caught. Murray looked like he looked. Defense staying off the field. And the defense, with the defense off the field, they have the energy to make plays. They look like they look. Everything is predicated on it. It really is true. The war is won in the trenches. But all these outside sexy positions, all this, what they're doing now, it's like a pretty girl with a bad attitude who can't cook, who you can't bring around nobody because she has a bad attitude. She's useless.
Let's spin this to the Falcons.
We in more trouble. Because unlike them other teams we just named, so unlike paying Megatron and still having all that talent around, because for a minute they had Sue and McFarley, you draft well and all that type of stuff. That little window you got there.
And you get cheap pieces. Cheap, good pieces.
That works. But when you have a GM that signs Brooks Reed, keep Cole Beerman on the roster, signs Jacob Tammy.
I mean, even Tyson Jackson.
Paul Soliot. I was getting to him. It's just so bad it takes a while to get through all these. But we'll stop it. When you have those kind of moves, you don't have too much hope.
And the problem with the Falcons is, the problem with the Julio thing is, and it's not Julio. Again, you got a marquee player. You got a top 30 player. So you could say you won for unknowns. But let's assume you do hit on those draft picks. So now you got four other positions. So You could have got you a receiver who could have been at least 60% of what Julio is. Could have got you a lineman who could be contributing. You could have got you two different defensive players. So now, if they were the equivalent of what Julio was, not even if they were the top 15 or top half of players at their position in the league, now you got something you can look at on defense and be like, hey, we got this piece, we got that piece. Now you got another piece on offense who you could be like, hey, we got Jacob, we got Jake Matthews, and this guy. So we got blocks that we're good on. We have pieces. The Falcons don't have pieces. We have a wide receiver, a quarterback, a good young lineman, and that's it. And so then you don't have to be as desperate in free agency because you would have had those picks, and let's say you hit those picks. So now you got your D lineman who you don't have to worry about. Or now you got that linebacker where you don't have to just go get a linebacker. Or you got that cornerback along with Trufant. So now that's one group that's kind of stabilized. So you don't have to, you could kind of focus on other things or whatever. But when you take that one player for four, it just leaves you thin. So now we don't have backup. So we don't have the backup cornerback like the Walter Thurman. We don't have the backup lineman like a Claiborne. People's backups are becoming our starters. That speaks both to Seattle and to us because their backups are so good that they're becoming our starters. Or our starters are so bad that people's other backups are better than ours. What does that say about us long term? So
you just nailed it. That's what it says about us long term. We're not going over long term. He has slowly but surely decimated the team. What this is a fancy Italian car with a cheap American motor. That's what the Falcons are. So that's why you got Julio, because it's hype behind Julio, excitement behind Julio. But Julio is all fluff. It's no substance. Julio's not a bad draft pick if you were picking at 6. It's a great pick. If you was picking at 10 and worked to 6, it's not a bad pick. But we was in the teens. We had to go up. We had to give away a lot to get him. And that was too much when we clearly had too many holes. Arthur Blank is a problem. One, he's a problem because he's watching this guy do this. And it was brought to mind. From what I hear, this was his move. He wanted Julio. So he pulled the trigger on Julio.
Not Dimitri.
From my understanding. Now, if it was Dimitri, he may be pulling the we're going to sign him move. But if anyone is doing that, if these people are doing that, we have four individuals that was in GM position that were currently in one or is one. And Scott Pioli, and Delaney, and Dimitroff, and then Rich McKinney. And if all four of these individuals see that we have slowly been depleted of talent, so much so that the king of head, superhead himself, John Gruden, on the Monday night game was like, boy, these Falcons need some talent. They're not getting to the quarterback at all. They don't have anybody on defense. And you don't have to listen to him. You could just look at the games. And if you don't even look at the games, you can look at the numbers. And see 32nd last in the league in defense. Clearly there is a problem here. And it's not offense. So right now they're trying to sell tickets, but they're not trying to win games. They want you to buy them dumbass PSLs that I hope nobody buys. That's what they're trying to do.
So let me ask you this. How would you rate this Julio Jones experience as a Falcons fan? For what it has been to what it could have been.
In between having Andrew Luck for a quarterback and Sam Bradford.
God, that's a big disparity.
That's how I read it. He's been here now, what, 4 years, 5 years?
2 winning seasons. 1 or 2.
He has a problem with the same foot that he's had in college. He hasn't played a whole 16. He shined last year. That was his first year getting over 1,000 yards.
No, it wasn't his first year. It was his second year. But it was his first year getting like 50. It was his year he had God in stats. Yeah.
I don't think you should ever sign someone after a big year. It's just like making a decision with a woman after you've had, or right before you had sex with her. After you have sex with her, you see things a little clearly. Before, things look hazy. So I don't think you should ever sign someone not the 1 year. We made that mistake with Sam Bacon. We didn't have to sign Julio Jones this year. His contract is up after this year. We can sign him next year. Why not see? That's the same thing they did with Matt Ryan, remember? Mm-hmm. Why are we not signing him in the last year? Why not see what he does this year? This is leverage here. Because if he gets hurt, which his track record shows he's going to get hurt, hopefully not. But if something happens, well, what if his numbers aren't the same? I don't think his numbers are going to be the same anyway. Look at that line. You see that line Matt Ryan playing by? Listen, one guy worth that money. You seen the hits Matt Ryan was taking last year? He was high in the league in sacks, wasn't he?
One Let me say something hit. About Matt Ryan. He's earned some respect from me. They were teeing off on Matt Ryan.
Teeing off. It was like the ugly girl. You know what I mean? She's fucking everybody, bro. Just go in the back. You don't have to work for it. They were hitting him left and right. It was open season. And that cat still threw for 4,500 yards and top five in passing yards. That says a lot. With this guy, Roddy White out, no Tony Gonzalez.
I think the Julio experience for me has been a D.
A D? You talking about me. Why a D?
He's been good individualistically. It's like having a smart child in a fucked up high school. So that one child is making A's and B's. But when the standardized tests come through, the school fails and they're about to put the school on probation.
Yeah.
So it's okay to have a – I mean, there's nothing wrong with having one good child. But if he's the only one – he or she's the only one getting the lesson, then there's something wrong with the school.
Right.
If Julio's the only one excelling, then there's something wrong with your program.
Exactly right. Do you think you pay Julio the $71 million?
If it was me, no. Julio walks.
You will walk him?
No, you can if you Dimitrov, because that's your signature move. And so we finna take this last minute to throw some rocks at Dimitrov, because Lord knows we've been holding our hand on punches with him. He's fucked up our franchise tremendously.
I told you today, Rich McKay has a better offer talent.
I think Scott Pioli does, too. I think Scott Pioli, Dimitrov doesn't know college players. He can't get NFL players. So what the fuck is he good for?
Sucking Arthur Blank's dick. You don't have that hairstyle for nothing. He needs something to pull when he's getting his dick sucked. What's the other reason? Because if you look at his track record, once we did the comparison, and you see he was front office and this, that, and the other, which was a bipartisan of really Matt Ryan having some good years and working with what Rich McKay had left up until he sold all the stuff Rich McKay had. Because for the last, 4 years? This has been just his team. So when you look at his team is awful. You look at that squad. And you look across, you see Thomas Dimitrov and the other guys we name it, Paul Werlow and Bartu. And I don't even know who the other linebacker was. I think we had 2 linebackers and 5 linemen. Some nonsense we was running. And you got Robert Alford, and you have Deku for the longest. I mean,
Sam Baker.
And Lowry. I mean, you name it. Name it. He got rid of all the studs we had when they was still studs. You got rid of who you didn't get rid of?
They got rid of Lofton.
Who led every year? Young talent. Every year led your team in tackles. They got rid of Michael Boley. And that's all that. But on the flip side, you go ahead and cut ties with Sean Witherspoon, but you keep Corey Beerman? I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. You get rid of What was that lineman name? My best lineman. He went to St. Louis. Harvey Dahl. You got rid of Harvey Dahl. And you haven't filled that void yet. Now we'll try now. Straight ass juice. You went and drafted a kid. You went and signed Osamoa. So what? You got an undersized center. That right side is a mess. You didn't even bring in Blindside for the cheap. You can bring in Michael Orr and put him on the right side. He's better than what we got on the right side.
He's a professional, right? And then that's he can be a backup.
So, who can play multiple positions? So bringing it back to Julio one more time, what I would have done, I would have let him play this season. I would have traded him this season and got something for him. Some of those draft picks that we needed.
You would have recouped.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely. I think that you made a good point, and I'm going to wrap up with this. Receiver is one of the most dispensable positions in football.
I think right now it's even more so than running back.
It is, because you remember the kid, I forget the kid's name, but in the Super Bowl, Seattle played a kid. They played a kid. He caught a fade, and he was like 6'1". They got him in like the 6th round or 7th round of last year's draft. And they were saying he had like 100 yards in the Super Bowl. I forget his name.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Somebody's going to catch the passes and make the yards. Yeah. And as we say, somebody's going to get the stats. And even then, we're all saying the best three receivers haven't made a difference. ODB didn't do anything. They didn't win.
They didn't even go to the playoffs.
Calvin Johnson, career loser.
He was part of that 0-16 team, wasn't he?
If he wasn't, he's been on some losers. Antonio Brown, great receiver.
They winning. Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant. First time in the playoffs.
They only went because of Murray.
Yeah, so I agree with you completely. You have to recoup those picks. Because the Falcons need way more than any other team we're talking about here. And for us to be consistent winners, we have to look at the people who consistently win. And right now, that's New England. And you can start putting Seattle in that mix. You can put Pittsburgh in that mix too. Pittsburgh draft well just has a good program. They don't turn around as an organization.
More than a wide receiver, give me that bell cow running back.
Which, again, Atlanta doesn't have.
We don't have.
You could have used your draft pick on that. When you have holes at every layer and every level, last thing you need is to give away picks for one pick.
But see, the reason why he can give away picks is because he does not draft well. He's a horrible draft.
I'm tired of everybody using that excuse.
No, that's not the excuse. I'm saying that's why this idiot did that, trying to make a splash, because you know good and well your second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks are going to be trash. You might hit on a pick. But that draft that went 100 players deep.
And we got Hagerman.
We got Hagerman when we could have got Hagerman in the 5th round. But you went and got Matthews and Hagerman. Who was the third one? You got
Southwind third.
Southwind, Devontae Freeman. That draft isn't going to pan out to be worth the shit.
It sounds like a team full of backups. Except for Jake Matthews.
That's what we keep getting. Everyone keeps saying we're getting fillers. My question always been, fillers to what? We already had a team full of fillers. We already had third stringers. We don't need no motherfucking depth. We need some players. We need some stars in here. That's the problem. We don't have no stars. We don't have any fillers.
I think you're not using the complete word. We don't have any starters.
We don't have any starters. And that's why when you don't have starters, you don't have stars or excitement, that's why you have to sign Julio. That's why for Thomas Dimitroff, you have to sign Julio. Because if you let Julio go, what in the hell do we need you? What have you been doing for these past 7 years? Because if Julio leaves, now you have is Matt Ryan when you look on that TV screen.
Who's looking at the Falcons?
Not just that, but what have you been doing? Look at the Falcons right now.
You've been collecting a check.
Take Matt Ryan, Julio off. What do they look like?
The Falcons are probably one team, if you take off, I don't think people can name three people off the Falcons team.
They can name Roddy because they hear so much. But after Roddy, Matt, and Julio, no. It's Cass and Atlanta can't name five.
And it's probably all, and the problem is they're all on the same side of the ball.
That's the problem. It's casting Atlanta can't name five Atlanta players.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been
disheartening. Discouraging. It's been reality, though.
This has been the Julio Jones experiment.
You know what this is? This is when you get your check and you work, like, overtime, and you look at your check, it was like, who the fuck is FICA? Who is this? When you look at it, and it's short, like, $400? This is what this is. This is what it is with the Falcons.
This is going to run on Falcons football week. Make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Rise up, Falcons.